A couple of comments, and I'll throw it open to whatever questions. The two sides, as you know, agreed on the mediator. I don't know Judge Solem, but he was at the top of our list, and I'm told he was at the top of the legislature's list, so that speaks very well for his qualifications. And so I don't know really, frankly, any more than that. They're talking about some possible dates. I sent some dates back when I would be available next week, and I've not heard anything definite on that. I'm going to be very reluctant to make many comments about the process or anything else, because this is new territory for me. It's frankly new territory for almost everyone. So questions about the process and how it's going to unfold and you know, our position or another position I'm in, I'm not comment until I have clear idea that that's permissible. I read what Judge Solem said in terms of his preference that it be handled in a certain way, and I've not had a chance to discuss that even with my own counsel, so I don't have any take on it one way or the other, but I'm going to be reluctant that I don't say anything that in any way compromises the integrity of the process. Regarding Enbridge, you know, the legislature is really significant wisdom. Years ago, set up the Public Utilities Commission separate from the administration and separate from the legislature. And now we're seeing a prime example of why that's incredibly wise foresight. Many people are piling on for their own political advantage, and now that we've got an active campaign for governor, everything that happens or doesn't happen is going to be part of that political fodder. But I did not see the report that the Commerce issued until they sent me a final draft last week. I read it. I said I think it's very well written. I'm not going to change one word because I don't want to have any question of my interference. Our communication staff works with Commerce's in terms of the disclosure of it yesterday and handling that part of it, but that was the extent of it. We made no material changes whatsoever in the document, and as I predicted, it would be controversial, and that's part of the process. Now there's 30 days for other parties to weigh in and rebut what Commerce concluded, and then it goes from there to, I guess, administrative law judge, and finally to the Public Utilities Commission, which again is entirely independent of me and the legislature, and that's the way it's supposed to be, especially in controversial situations like this where there are many interests involved, there are many interests that disagree with one another, and you know, hats off to previous legislatures and governors who set up a process that would be as much as possible insulated from all the other flotsam that goes around. With that, I'll respond to questions. Let's talk about the case first. Let's do those two one at a time, and then I'll talk about anything else.
Questions on the case?
Yeah, I have a question about the Supreme Court case.
Yeah.
You were declaring victory of sorts on Friday, and the legislature was declaring victory of sorts on Friday. Did anybody win that case?
Well, we're beyond that now. I mean, the court said that my action was constitutional, which the legislature disputed. That's why the legislature took the matter to court all the way to the Supreme Court. So I don't know how they can declare a victory out of that. But, you know, what's important now is that we follow the instructions of the court. We have a mediator. We engage in that process. We work this out. There's some other, you know, important constitutional questions that haven't been addressed yet and resolved, and those need to be as far as how this affects future legislatures, future governors, and the like. So I'll have an opportunity to clarify that, but that's really secondary right now in terms of timetable to getting this resolved so we can come to a satisfactory resolution and proceed.
Line item veto created an unconstitutional situation for the legislature not having funding and being able to operate?
No, it did not say that I created that. It said a constitutional measure cannot be, I can't remember exact words, they're talking in a general sense, an unconstitutional outcome. I never proposed to defund the legislature. I proposed to force the legislature to do exactly what the Supreme Court ordered, which is come back and negotiate with me on the items that I address. And, you know, we funded their staff, the committees of the legislature. But, you know, if I were to say my purpose here is to abolish all funding for the legislature permanently or for the next biennium, that's what I believe the court was addressing in terms of that would be inappropriate, even though it would be technically constitutional. But, you know, they're the ones who disputed my authority constitutionally to line on a veto those appropriations, and the court upheld that without qualification and emphatically. And for them to say that they didn't dispute my authority to make a line on a veto, that's why we went to the Supreme Court. So, I mean, a lot of spinning going on here. But again, I think it was important as we move beyond that now and deal with what lies ahead. Well, again, I'm really going to have to defer until I talk with the mediator and get his view of it and find out what the legal and other constraints are. So I can't answer that question now. Well, certainly before the mediation begins, have answers to those kind of questions.
As you stand here today, do you go into the same five priorities that you had when you made the decision?
I have not made any final decision. I haven't discussed you know, policies or strategies with my counsel. That's certainly my starting point, those five areas. I certainly intend to put those out there as I did 3 months ago for, you know, requirements for calling the legislature back into special session to resolve this. So, but again, how that's the starting point and where we go from there. Well, I read the examples of where Judge Solomon successfully negotiated some very controversial and issues with very divided parties. So I think his skill and expertise, which both of us, both the legislature and I, recognize with our putting him at the top of our list of recommendations, is says he's very skilled at this, very experienced with this, and so I'm hopeful that that skill will enable us to succeed at reaching a resolution.
Governor, on Friday, you responded to a question about whether this might need to go on the ballot as a ballot initiative. These are very complex questions. How could you foresee possibly boiling this down to something that could be put on a ballot?
Well, again, to me, that's a kind of on the next page of the priority of issues. One is to resolve within the court's guidelines what needs to be done now to get this matter resolved, have a special session, and fund. Beyond that, I mean, the court, I think, raised a very important question, which is that we've, in three times now, most recently in 2011, district court has intervened, and very constructively, at least in my experience, 2011, set up a special magistrate to decide what's essential funding and what's not, keep things like the prisons operating, which I think we all agree is in the public interest. The Supreme Court, from what I gathered from the oral arguments, their questions there, and inferring from their writing, but I don't, you know, they speak for themselves, is saying, does the judicial branch have that constitutional authority to dictate which funds, even if both parties, as we did in 2011, ask the magistrate to do so, do they have that constitutional authority to dictate that there will be funds provided for certain functions? So, and I mean, that's just a very, you know, this question hasn't ever been asked before. It wasn't asked in 2011. Somebody, I think, probably could have appealed the procedure back then to the Supreme Court. And, live issue, but I think it's obviously one that's out there now and it needs to be resolved. And the court indicated it'd come back and take a further look at that again after this immediate situation is resolved. And like, I'm not a constitutional lawyer, but I think I'm glad that it's going to be resolved, because if it requires a constitutional amendment, then you know, my hope would be that reason and judgment would prevail, and this not be a reaction to whatever occurred this time, but that we engage some constitutional scholars and look at it carefully from the standpoint of how would this affect future governors, future legislatures. I think that's a question that's been raised. I mean, I think the Supreme Court questions that we're asking, does even if the legislature and or the governor go and ask the district court, would you please appoint a magistrate and authorize some funding that hasn't been authorized by the legislature or signed by the governor, do they have the authority under the Minnesota Constitution to do so? And that question hasn't been addressed by the Supreme Court, and I think it's important that it be addressed. And if they say no, you know, it comes to June 30th in the future, you know, the prisons don't get staffed anymore. I mean, those are the kind of consequences that need to be considered and address what, you know, whether it can be done by statute or it needs a constitutional amendment. I'm not prepared to say, but those are the kind of questions that need to be asked after this immediate situation is resolved.
Was there a legal strategy in 2011 that the courts did not have that authority and the governor did?
No, it never came up. I mean, again, depending on the precedent of the two previous times where the court appointed a magistrate, you know, provided funds, the Judicial Council, whose budget was eliminated in 2011, was a party to that, to the magistrate, I'm told, and asked that their funding be included as essential funding so that the judicial branch could operate after July 1st. So, I mean, they themselves didn't really address this question, but it's a very valid question, so I think it needs to be looked at for the future. Well, my goal is to have it end quickly and satisfactory. Obviously, it has to both sides to have a special session, get this matter resolved, and move ahead. We'll see what happens.
Governor, any concern about the legal fees being built up on both sides fighting this for who knows how much longer?
Well, I'm concerned. I didn't want to go to court. I wanted to go to the negotiating table. That's what I said in my veto letter on May 30th. So, you know, the legislature refused to do that and wanted to go to court and wanted to have my action declared unconstitutional. And so they forced the expenditure of funds on both sides. We've had excellent legal talent. I think the legislature has as well. Both the private counsels have discounted significantly their fees, which I respect. But yeah, this is costly, and it's another reason why we need to get it resolved quickly. I've heard the same case made for their side. I don't want to speculate on motives. I can say sincerely that my goal is to get this matter resolved through mediation and get it resolved as quickly as possible. And obviously both sides have to agree to that resolution. But I don't want to protract this any longer than absolutely necessary. Well, everything's up for negotiation as long as it's legal, and whatever those five things I propose would require a special session to approve. So whatever we should agree upon, legislature their representatives and myself is not, I mean, it still has to be approved by the full legislature and signed into law by me. So that's my starting point. It's in writing, but I'm, you know, I'm not prepared to say now where I see it going. I have no idea what the legislature intends to put on the table. So that's, I'll start to find out next week. Absolutely. Absolutely. All five of the issues, but three of them are tax related. They're all very important. Let's go on to the Enbridge or anything else.
Karen, your attorney vigorously defended the idea that courts are always a stop as an emergency place to go for funding on an emergency basis. If the courts actually put their foot down on that and it doesn't go to the ballot or at least successfully, what's going to be the ramifications going forward if that safety valve is no longer available?
Well, that's exactly why I don't think it'll just go ignored. I think the Supreme Court will recognizes that that question needs to be answered, and if they answer that there's not a remedy under the existing law and constitutional, then that's going to have to be addressed, you know, probably in the next legislative session. Again, I hope it's done wisely and carefully, and not for some imagined political advantage, because it would, you know, be in effect for a long time. But I think, you know, those questions need to be answered. I mean, that's the point I was making earlier. That's why the wisdom of previous legislatures and governors was to insulate the Public Utilities Commission and what are, you know, very controversial decisions from that kind of political flotsam. And, you know, the fact that this came from the Republican Party and the fact that we got a governor's race that's already going on should tell everybody to be extremely suspicious of those who are taking one side or another because of their own political advantage. So, you know, again, I don't make that decision in terms of certificate of need, and the Public Utilities Commission does. I appointed the five of them, but they have six-year terms. They're independent. They were confirmed by the Senate, every one of them. There's a political balance as required in the statute. Everything was done to set up that group as independent from the governor and independent from the legislature, and thank goodness they are. So they can make this difficult decision in the best interest of all of Minnesota.
Governor, let me ask about Amazon, if I may, for a moment. You said you did last week that you want me to, for the other application, and you want how badly do you want to pursue them to come here, and how realistic do you think you could possibly have a chance?
Well, I think we are, my belief is we are going to make an application. That process has begun working with, led by the Commissioner Hardy and the Department of Employment and Economic Development, and working in collaboration with the greater MSP and with other interested parties, communities who have land they want to have considered and like. So the process is just beginning, but we're going to put together, I believe the deadline is October 15th, somewhere around there. And, you know, we'll have an application. We're going to, you know, look in a very restrained way of offering any financial inducements because, especially given the two headquarters companies that we have here, which are so important, Target and Best Buy, and there are other smaller entities that are also, you know, directly or indirectly competing with Amazon, it'd be, I believe, and I think others believe, inappropriate to be offering tax dollars, tax incentives to try to induce Amazon to come in and that situation. We think we have a strong case to make because the first and foremost consideration is the quality of the people that they would be able to hire and or attract to this area. And we've proven that this is one of the, for a number of reasons, one of the most attractive places for particularly young and middle-aged but top-level executives to consider. So we'll make our best application and we'll see where we come out in the process. Well, we haven't made any decisions, but in this instance where you have somebody who would come in as a direct competitor to two of our major headquartered companies. I think we have to, I think they and their, these 32,000 employees would look properly with a scans that are taking some of their tax dollars off her and special incentives that they don't receive to lure some major competitor into their doorstep. No decisions have been made on that. I'm just saying that's a consideration. But we haven't made any decisions about anything that's going to be in or not in the proposal, and it's premature for me to I'm not saying anything to final or definitive, and we'll go engage in that process with our within our own administration. We'll talk with business leaders, greater MSP and others, and the communities involved. So I'm not ruling anything out, but I'm just raising a cautionary note.
Governor, doesn't it actually make this a different, separate case on a whole different level when you have a possibility of 55,000 new employees? Or does your standard remain the same for all employees, no matter how many, 100 or 55,000?
Well, standard is to do what's right for Minnesota economically and do a cost-benefit analysis and make sure that the benefits that would come to the state, to the treasury, to the communities where they would be located, to the people who would be working there and are told very, very good salaries, that all that economic benefit outweighs whatever the cost is to state and local governments. And that's always been, since I was commissioner 30 years ago, it's been the consideration, the assessment to make. So we will follow that same standard. And again, I'm not saying at this point what is or is not going to be part of that proposal, but I do want to acknowledge that, and I did call both the Best Buy CEO and the Target CEO on my own initiative last Thursday, and just wanted them to know they are very important companies. They're very major employers. They're hugely important to, I believe, or we get the total number of people in the headquarters, but it's like 24,000 for Target, 8,000, or I guess 4 of the 8,000 in Best Buy. You got both the headquarters and the administrative side, and then you've got their stores and employees there. So it depends on which number you count, but it's tens of thousands of employees, as well as those two companies and their competitive standing in what's a very now a very competitive and very very volatile market, I'm told. The concern was expressed about using tax dollars, which they say would be in part their tax dollars to try to incentivize the company. But they recognize that this is an opportunity for the state, and they're good corporate citizens, and they're understand that we're going to proceed.
What else can you offer?
We haven't offered anything. We haven't made any decisions about offering anybody anything. I have nothing to say about what we're going to do or not do because I haven't talked with anybody about it.
Will Minnesota speak with one voice on this, or could a city make its own application, or is there a kind of agreement?
That's a good question. I believe it's directed to the state, but I can't answer the definitive. Let's find out. But I don't know that you could preclude some community or somebody from making their own proposal, but given the other factors that are going to involve the county and the state, I think it would be an incomplete proposal. But it's a fair question. I don't know to whom it was directed. I believe it was directed to the state, but I'll find out.
Do you worry that there will be kind of a price to play given the amount of national interest in this? And is there a point at which you would just say, you know what, this is not worth the tax dollars that Amazon required to seriously look at?
Well, we're going to put a proposal that we believe does meet the criteria I described before, that the benefits to the state outweigh whatever costs there are to the state or local government. So, we'll do what we believe is right for Minnesota, and other states will do what they believe their best interest to do. And then, comparing those, assessing those will be Amazon's prerogative, not ours. I don't believe we'll know what other states are offering until after the submission date. But
in terms of submitting this, how much of this do you think should be secret from Minnesotans who may be affected by the jobs and the real estate?
Well, nothing's secret so far. I can't say. I don't know what Amazon's requirements are in terms of confidentiality of what we're providing. I have to find that out. But nothing will be, if we were to go to the next step, I mean, it would be clear what the parameters of that are, but I'm not going to get into that ahead of time.
Other questions?
I say the last, I created the quote from before when I went to Shutterfly. Yeah, if I said I wanted out to California to move Shutterfly, it would have been gone. And I said, well, I'm not going to tell you where I'm going. I'm not going to tell you who I'm courting. Then suddenly there was an overwhelming interest. So, you know.
So doesn't that say that perhaps as a policy you should tell us?
Well, from that standpoint, yes. From that standpoint, yeah. But if Amazon were to say, and it's hypothetical, that they don't, they're going to disqualify somebody for leaking, you know, describing their proposal, then I'd be, obviously we're not going to tread on, you know, they're in charge of this. This is their determination, their prerogative. So we'll have to balance that out. But I have nothing to hide. I never had it. Going back to General Motors Saturn in 1984, never had anything to hide, and I got lots of press about that. But that comes with the territory. So 50,000 jobs, obviously, you know, and that's over a period of time. It's not immediately, but that's obviously a huge upside for anybody.
And Governor, how does this compare to the Saturn situation? Is it very similar in terms of all the states and metro areas going after?
Yeah, I would say it's like that in the sense that Saturn, I don't think they put out a formal RFP, but they let it be known publicly they're going to make this decision, and we competed for that. We were one of the handful of states who were asked to come in and make a presentation to the Saturn of the General Motors executives, so we made it to that round and weren't selected. But yeah, I mean, I'd have to look at the particulars in terms of what's similar and what's different, but it's the general idea that it's a publicly announced competition and that states are, at least we were invited to make a proposal, that's very, very similar. It's about the same. I mean, it's very competitive. It's very, all states are competing with one another, as well as now foreign countries for jobs and for these, major plants and decisions. So, I mean, I think the basic fundamentals are the same. It's just that back then, I had never questioned the wisdom of the governor.
And now you do?
Often. Thanks.